B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
4 o'clock hour. It's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Check them out online at landispc.com.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
What's this? The Fanatic Football Pool? Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, the contest line is 215-263-0975. That's 215-263-0975. If you are the fifth caller, you will win a quick $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And then we're going to have you hang on, and I'll ask you a football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in the pool, the grand prize drawing for later on to win the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, which includes a fire pit, $1,000 cash, full year supply of snacks from Hers, and other various and sundry gifts. Get on the line right now, 215-263-0975. All right, there we go. We'll see if we get a caller. We'll ask the trivia. This is ridiculously easy, this trivia question today. Ridiculously easy.
Yes, it is.
All right, let's clean up a couple things before we get back to the substance of the day. The 76ers acquired Danny Vrains, who for my money, was the poor man's Tom Chambers. That's what Danny Vrains was.
Couldn't score like Chambers.
No, he was the poor man's Chambers. Same kind of thing, same Mormon dude.
Oh, yeah,
Chambers. Same Mormon forward. And they got him in a trade to the Seattle Supersonics with Tim McCormick. Tim McCormick and Danny Vrains for Clemen Johnson.
Oh, I don't remember him.
And a first-round pick they traded.
I do remember.
Clem Johnson was the backup center on the great 83 team that won the whole thing.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, he was a valuable sub that year.
Yeah. No record.
No, he came in from Moses. Spelled Moses.
That is an important job.
It was. Clem had some moments.
I remember Tim McCormick.
Yeah, Tim McCormick.
I was little when I don't remember Rain.
He was horrendous.
Well, I was a young guy.
Yeah.
I remember he used to do a lot of TV interviews, though, when I was a kid on the news. I guess he was media friendly.
He's in media now.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, he does media now.
All right, makes sense. As a kid, I remember doing a lot of interviews for a guy that couldn't really play.
Yeah, he does college commentary.
Oh, there you go.
College color analyst.
All right.
And also, one other thing. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but way back, my first interview with Vigneault, I was pronouncing the name Alain. If you remember.
Yes, I do remember.
And I got excoriated for being, it's Elaine. Well, I just got an email from a lady. She goes, I just have to correct your pronunciation of Alain because I'm French. And it hurts my ears when people say it so wrong. You're saying Alain. Don't pronounce the end. That's a woman's name. The correct pronunciation is the French NH. It's in the nose. It's not like saying ain ending like Dane or Rain. It's on. It rhymes with batter cat, but with a slight nasal sound. Whoa. It's Alain.
That's very detailed pronunciation.
Very detailed. Yes.
So you were right?
I was right, but I caved. I caved to people.
Yeah.
I should just stick to my guns.
Elaine.
Well, that's like the people they call Drew Claude.
That's right, Claude. It's our own Tim Saunders goes Claude.
Right, Claude, I think, is correct.
And he used to go Desjardins.
Yes, I loved when he did that.
Desjardins.
That's what I grew up on.
Yeah. All right. We have our participant on the line, the fifth caller. Yes, it's Rich from Mertztown. I don't know where Mertztown is. Rich, where is Mertztown?
Between Reading and Lehigh University.
All right, so you're
right in the middle.
Okay, sounds good. That you heard the call, and boom, you're the fifth caller with a chance now to qualify for the big football baby pool full of prizes. Right. All you have to do, you got the $100 in your pocket from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Here's the question: what's the name of the Eagles mascot?
Oh.
Oh, no, Rich.
I know.
You're killing me, Rich.
I know it. Jeez.
Oh, Rich. You're out, but
but congratulations. You right, you won $100 anyway. Let me put you on hold there. Oh, a gift.
It's a tough one.
A gift. Swoop is the correct answer.
Tough one to lose. Not a tough one to get.
It's Swoop, and he does not qualify for the big baby pool.
I was trying. Prizes. I was hoping he would just give a guess.
Yeah.
Because I almost would have given it to him had he said, oh, big shot. I would have given him a lot of options.
Hey, yeah. You know, I live up there in Mertztown. Maybe he didn't go up there and tell you. It's Swoop.
I feel like that just means Swoop needs to work a little bit harder.
Because Flyers fans would get gritty.
The world would get gritty. Everybody knows the Fanatic.
Franklin.
Franklin's got it going on.
Yeah,
Swoop needs to step his game up a little.
Most popular team.
Yeah.
Is he perhaps the least popular mascot?
1,000%. Nothing that he's doing wrong. I just, perhaps the Eagles could maybe make him a little bit better, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nan, I almost bought you a t-shirt today.
You did?
Yeah, I told you, I was at the farmer's market, and there's the Brunos there, and they had these Philly t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
But the only ones they had were XL. It said, Stay Weird, Philly. And it had the four mascots across it.
I'm glad that that's what you thought of when
you
saw
it. Yeah, I figured that was perfect for you.
It is.
You love the mascots.
I do.
Stay Weird, Philly.
Yeah.
And it had the four mascots in the...
That's me.
Yeah. You would have liked it.
But they were just, thanks, Mike.
They're only XL, so I'm sorry.
That's all right. I appreciate the thought that counts.
It's the thought that counts. Let's go to Doug in Harrisburg. Doug, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Doug.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
What's up, Doug?
Hey, I wanted to talk about Peterson for a little bit. I understand he's an aggressive coach. He has that mentality, but you got to know the situation. I'm not talking about the end of the first half. I don't understand why in the fourth quarter you're down 7 and you don't punt the ball to give your defense a chance to make a play.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going over that circumstance after the fact. And it was probably the wrong thing to do with a 17-0 lead. But I can see the other side of it, too, that team is not going to threaten me. Oh, yeah, what are you talking about
here? It's on our side of the field. Well, it was on our side of the field, and they punt the ball. Like, the offense clearly hit a brick wall.
Oh, you're talking about the fourth down where they went for it?
No, I'm talking about, fourth quarter, though. Not the end of the first half. Everybody's ripping them about that. I'm not even worried about that.
Yeah, where were they when on that fourth down? I don't know if a punt was viable at that point. Was it viable? Where were they, Tyron?
Like the 44?
I think there was 7 minutes left in the game. And
they could have pinned them deep.
Okay, they were at their own 44?
Yeah.
Oh, they were. Okay. Yeah, well, that should have been a punt. My problem with that is the third down play. They took a shot down the field. Right. So, like, everybody's saying, well, Arts dropped the fourth down. Yeah, he did. But what kind of call is that on third down?
True. I'm a little nervous about Aaron Donald coming to town.
You should be. Line. Guess what? The Rams are a favorite.
Quick.
Yeah, the Rams are a favorite, bro. How about that?
Yeah, 0-2 would be a big hole.
It's stunning. A stunning development that line could reverse like that.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. We got to get some things worked out quick here.
I hear you.
It might be a bad season.
I hear you, man. This is, if they go 0-2, now the season's not over, they go 0-2, but that's a hole. Yeah, that's a hole. Fortunately for them, the playoffs are expanded a little bit, so maybe it's not a hole. But going 0-2 like that with two wins that were supposed to be wins, like you thought you were better than both those teams.
Yeah, and another thing that blows my mind, you probably don't have the answer to this, but it seems like the past 4 years, they've been decimated at every position as far as injuries. I don't know what's up with that.
Yeah, but everybody is. You see the world. You see all the injury that happened in this first weekend? There's a lot of people that are down.
Yeah, but year after year, like every position.
Yeah, well, that's why they changed medical stats three times, because they always blame it on the medical people. They always get a new staff in with newfangled ideas. I don't know. The injuries happen in this game.
Right. Part of the game.
Yep. All right, brother.
All right, thanks for your time, Mike.
You got it, Doug. Appreciate the bar. I'm looking. Yeah, they're at the 42. Yeah, that's stupid.
You got a punt there.
Yeah, well, they were down 24-17 at the time, and there's 4:35 left. So,
and I think they had all their timeouts at that point, plus the 2-minute warning.
See, my problem is still is that third and three. Why would you go deep to the left there? Get the first down, turn the ball down the field.
The Ertz play. The fourth down play was the third down play. And he got it, and he schemed it wide open.
Exactly.
That was the play. If Ertz drops that on third down, different scenario because you get two shots at it with reasonable plays. Because they didn't stop the tight ends the whole game. Ertz stopped himself and Goddard had over 100 yards. The play on third down was to the tight ends. That fourth down play was the third down play, which they schemed wide open and he just dropped it. And the ball, that was actually probably his best throw in the second half.
Hey, you can't, you're down by seven. You can't let everything come down to a fourth down. You be smart.
It makes no sense. Yeah. The fourth down play was a third down play. Donald had three times playing the Eagles. He's been a beast throughout all those years. Zero sacks, only one tackle for loss. For some reason, Kelce to this point has been a big kryptonite for him because they line him up actually on their left side, not over Brooks.
Yeah.
Hopefully that continues because he has not, for whatever reason, had any success against the Eagles.
All right, 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Let's go to Florida, talk to Mike. Mike, what's up, Mike?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, I'll tell you, I'm frustrated. You know what? When Eagles won the Super Bowl, you know, when he had an issue winning 11 games, but anytime he had problems, who did he go to? Frank Wright. Now who did he go to? Dougie? Dougie was horrible as a player, no less a coach. I mean, it's absolutely, the play calling sets him up to fail. Okay, he doesn't adjust. Buddy Ryan got fired for that. Andy Reid got fired for that. And this schmuck is still around. I think we need to call Vito and come down and have a chat with him. You know what I mean?
Vito, I don't think is still in circulation. I think Vito's in jail. I think he got sent up for murder. They finally caught him on that Sonny Red murder. They got him.
I mean, you know, like most of the callers said, you know, put a tight end there. Put a running back there. Roll him out. Do something. Don't sit there like a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
Like he had done for the last 3 years. He got credit for the Super Bowl, but that was Frank Wright's Super Bowl. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not a Peterson lover. Never was. He was horrible as a player. He's horrible as a coach. And it's just, and Lurie will not make a move because he hates confrontation. So yeah. We're stuck with this clown, okay, or whatever. And he's just setting up the tight end.
The clown that won the Super Bowl.
He's a clown with a capital C. Okay.
Are you talking about the quarterback or the coach?
The coach.
The coach. Won the Super Bowl.
When quarterbacks have issues, they go to their quarterback coach or the OC, whatever. Mm-hmm. When he had issues when they won the Super Bowl, before he got hurt, he went to Frank Wright. Frank Wright straightened it out, whatever, did that thing until he got hurt. That's why he played so well. Okay. This clown, I mean, like I said, he was horrible as a player, and now they put him
in. Clowning a Super Bowl coach, man. How soon we forget.
Frank Wright won that Super Bowl. That's who won that Super Bowl.
Frank Wright. Okay. By the way, what's Frank done lately? What's he doing?
I don't know.
He's brilliant. He hasn't been able to do anything.
He ain't got the personnel over there at Indianapolis with the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
He's got decent personnel. Yeah, the line got beat up, but. You got to do something, not stand there and hold your clipboard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, okay. Other than that, Buzz, call Vito. He knows something.
And it's Vito's thing. You know, it's funny because I was watching that documentary. He had very little competition. Like, they get into the old man wanted a better life, right? He was a mob guy in Sicily.
Okay.
So they come to Montreal, and there's another boss in there. But, you know, in Canada. You wipe out that guy. They're like six dudes.
Right.
So
it's not easy territory.
So Vito's pop wipes out the competition, and then the son grows into the Godfather. In fact, they call him the Teflon Don of Canada. While Gotti was skating out here, this guy was skating out there. He's a slick lawyer.
See, and you've dealt with alleged mob people in your time. You told the story on the air many times.
Yeah. Yeah, this dude was no joke.
Yeah, you got to be careful with these guys.
Bonjour. Oui, oui.
But this
please don't shoot me.
It's amazing. It interweaves with the story of Donnie Brasco because they had Pistone was part of this documentary.
Yeah,
and he's talking about how he met the guy and he came down because they got two out of town guys. So Vito come down from Canada with another guy.
Comes down
and they hid in the closet of this club. And Sonny Red comes into the club, and they come out with shotguns. Bam! That was the end.
And they wearing
and then he goes
denim?
Right, he goes back to Montreal, and all of a sudden now he's beefed up by the Bonanno crime family.
Were they wearing denim? No,
I don't know. The guy was
leather.
Leather
jacket and denim.
And
I know the guy. He was the dapper Don too up there. Always had nice suits.
Oh, he might have had a fine suit on.
Oh, he's Yeah, this guy was in there. Well,
yeah, a little
after
denim.
That hit, he became the, you know, he's in public looking slick.
Yeah, see? Can't stay humble after they start.
I had no idea Canada had. Apparently, there's a big Sicilian population in Montreal.
Yes. No, I knew that.
I didn't know that at all.
Because of the Dino Bravo thing, I knew about that.
Maybe you might want to reconsider the winery and head up north, Mike.
I might have to go head up there.
I heard that there was like one big mob neighborhood. Seriously, up there.
I have no idea about
this. A big neighborhood in Montreal where basically you can point it out and everybody, and apparently the police kind of like they knew here, mobster mob, like in all on this like 3 or 4 block radius.
Yeah, well, he's serving a life sentence for murder.
Well, eventually they all fall on
the guy turned state evidence. His capo.
He snitched?
Yeah,
I can't have that.
Monsieur Missinelli.
See, I can't have that.
Well, that's how they get the, you know.
That would be the tough part.
They put the pressure on you. You know where he is? He's at ADX Florence.
Oh, he is?
What's that?
That's the federal supermax prison in Colorado.
Yeah, that's 23-hour lockdown.
You know who's in there? The black dude who in Philly, black dude, mobster dude.
Who?
What's the guy's name? He killed the federal witness. He blew up a house.
I don't know.
In Philly? He's a Philly guy. Went to Frankfurt High.
Oh.
What's that guy's name?
Oh, I forget. I'll look him up. But I know who you're talking about.
Wow. What is that guy's name? That's notorious. It's a big, notorious crime in Philadelphia at the time, like 2004. What's the guy's name? He killed like 5 witnesses against him. They were going to testify against him.
Oh, are you talking about Kabani Savage?
Yeah, Kabani Savage. That's him.
Oh,
yeah, Kabani Savage.
Kensington, right?
He's in the same prison, serving a life. He's on death row in Colorado.
Wow.
All right, let's go. Kevin on a cell. Kevin, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Kevin.
Michael, how you doing?
What's up, Kev?
Not much. I want to switch it up, talk to you about a little golf. How about my nephew, Harry Higgs?
You know, since you called, we've been following Harry Higgs. And a couple tournaments ago, he was in the top 10. He was zeroing in, right? What tournament was that?
But then he kind of went south on the third and fourth rounds. And I remember Tyrone was calling him Double H.
Yes, Tyrone was all about him. He was going to throw a few shekels on him that week.
Yeah, but hey, Tyrone, I found out later on that in college, they called him Triple H for High Hole Harry.
Triple H. See, that's bogus. There's already a Triple H.
Right.
Yeah, you can't go there.
And his other nickname was Tito. Because he likes little Tito and
Wood. It looks like he likes little Tito. he might want to get in the gym, Harry.
Yeah, but he had a good weekend.
Good for him, man. We're following him. Every time his name's on the board, we know who it is.
Okay, well, thanks very much, man.
All right, that was it. You just want to talk about it. Double H. Harry Higgs, your favorite golfer?
He is my favorite golfer. Camden's own.
All right, we are now wide open, so it's a good time to get in. 610-620-975. And the funny thing about a loss like that, Monday comes in like a bear, right? Tuesday, semi-bear, and then it starts to wane a little bit by the end of Tuesday. So tomorrow, in general knowledge Wednesday, we'll be back to normal, you think? Or will we still be aggravated?
I think some people are aggravated, but I think there's certain spectrums. There's a lot of fans that are just trying to take it as one loss. You have a certain people that were out on Wentz before the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're still lurking. Like, the Folesian people are still out there lurking, and they're just waiting for an excuse. And he gave them tons of excuses in the first game. So they're already out. And then there are people out there that think this coach is done as well. So
I think it's like sinking in today. People are trying to collect their thoughts because yesterday was emotional. We were all emotional. And then, you know, you let it sink in. You're like, it's Tuesday. Got to prepare for Sunday.
Yeah, we get a lot of Sundays.
Let me ask you this question, because, you know, I have this conspiracy theory that involves Jalen Hurts. Do you believe that Doug Peterson likes Wentz?
No.
No, I don't think he likes him at all.
And that could be
I have a deep psychological reason for that.
But I think one of the reasons is more simple, in that Wentz is hard-headed. But a lot of good players, Brady, a lot of good players are hard-headed. Yeah. They say Russell Wilson is hard-headed. All that running around that Russell Wilson does now, none of the Seahawks coaches wanted him to do it before. That's why they built it around that Legion of Doom defense, that Legion of Boom defense, and they kept it real conservative because they didn't trust him. And he kept pressing and pressing because guys are stubborn.
Yeah.
I think that's not a bad thing that he's stubborn. Now, it's bad the level of stubborn that he is, but I don't think that makes him weird. I think Doug likes paint-by-numbers quarterback, and Foles is paint-by-numbers and Hurts because of he didn't play pro style in college. He just didn't. And either stop. He'll have to be paint-by-numbers. Do what I tell you to do. And I think deep down, that's what he wants. I don't think he wants to clash with his quarterback.
So, then this happened in my theory. Then you believe then that he was also on board on this concept that I have in my head that they are planning to transition from Wentz to Hurts.
For sure. Because I think he thinks he can do it his way, Hurts or another quarterback. And I honestly think that there is a chance that while it may be Wentz is what it is, I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked if fast forward a year when they're ready to get rid of him, he finds another coach that likes him and can connect with him, and he ends
up. And he'll survive somewhere else in the league.
Because not maybe strive. Because I don't think he still has a big arm. He's still mobile and he's still tall. There are, and he's not old yet. They grab 35-year-old quarterbacks.
Yeah, Natalie, what is your big psychological connection?
No, I think that for whatever reason, I think Doug wants to be the ultimate play caller, and I think anybody who challenges him, particularly a quarterback who's brought in to be a starter when Doug was never a starter, he's just going to have issues with, which is why he took to Foles, because he could identify with Foles.
Right, but then why wouldn't he call plays that he that would be more aligned in what Doug wants to do? Why is he throwing the ball down the field if he wants a paint-by-numbers quarterback?
Because Wentz wants to throw the ball down the field.
Yes, Wentz wants to do it.
But he doesn't want to. So he wants to dink and dunk.
Yeah.
All right.
The two tight end thing?
And when was
that? That's a Doug thing. Carson would probably be just fine if probably be just Ertz, because Ertz is his man. But he would like to go three wide and go vertical. The coach wants to do double tight and go horizontal.
All right. 610-622-0975 is how you get in. It's the Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. It's NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for an update on our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie Eganoff, what do the numbers say?
Alrighty, Mike, over 1,800 votes on poll number one, which is, have you lost the faith in the following? 15% say Wentz, 14% say Peterson, 23% say both, 40% say neither, and then we added poll number two, should we have included Howie in the original poll? 78% say yes, 22% say no. So perhaps the numbers would be different had we included Howie, which we didn't.
Okay. Those numbers are self-explanatory, though. So it's good that we added that. All right, some updates here. I know the Big Ten is supposed to make an announcement sometime soon.
Yeah, because the Nebraska guy got caught on a hot mic.
Yeah. So we'll see. The Big Ten is going to play football. Here's more updates. The Arkansas State versus Kansas State game, which is supposed to be this weekend, has been canceled because 12-plus Arkansas State players have tested positive for COVID. And interestingly enough, there's a story out at LSU where Ed Orgeron, the head football coach of the LSU Tigers, said that most of his team has contracted COVID-19. So you're talking about 85-player roster? He says most of his players have it.
Yeah. In the offseason, there was nightclubs. I think at one time, 35 LSU guys had it. At once.
Well, here's what he says. Hopefully that once you catch it, you don't get it again. I'm not a doctor. I think they have that 90-day window. So most of the players that have caught it, we do feel like they'll be eligible for games. Oh, my God.
Quick correction. It's Arkansas State versus Central Arkansas. They just beat K-State.
Okay, Central Arkansas, yeah.
Yeah, so they did a big upset, and then and the reason they can't do it is not only do they have more than a dozen, there's a baseline for every position group. So this is the fear. Either their offensive line, deep, whatever room that it is, a bunch of players in that same room got it, thus they don't have enough players. You're not allowed to go and convert a bunch of wide receivers to corner. Like, that's not allowed by the NCAA.
Yeah. Texas Tech had self-reported 5 more cases of COVID on Monday, and their team total is 75 since players returned to campus in June. So this is that herd immunity concept? Is that what they're going to get it out of your system, and then you're going to be healthy, and you get 90 days not to get retested again, and can play?
It's funny
is that the way it works?
It was out there that a lot of college coaches, including the guy down in Dabo down in Clemson, who everybody says
he was trying to do that early.
He wanted the players to all catch it, thinking they would all be good because they're young and strong.
Right.
That hasn't necessarily worked out that way.
No. All right, let's go Jerome in Elkins Park. Jerome, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jerome.
Hey, what's up? Let me just knock you guys off from the, you know, we FaceTime here, so somebody doesn't say anything wrong. And I will hold the full little words in. Why can't Philadelphia, why can't we do it without the drama? Huh? I'm glad when you put that out to Natalie and Tyrone about the friction between the quarterback and the head coach, because it's apparent. I mean, whatever mishaps that it happens on the field, he just walks away. The coach doesn't entreat in him. There's no communication. I mean, when is it going to be? I mean, this battle. I mean, look, I don't care. They didn't have the Super Bowl, and if you mess up, you mess up. I'm not going to lose no sleep over it. But, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, Mike, when you say, how in the world can you lose to a bad team? Well, you just did. Any given Sunday.
No, I'm not saying how could you lose to a bad team. I'm saying how do you not adjust to a bad team?
Okay, all right, correction. And what did you, and have you seen him adjust?
It's problematic because I time after time don't see him adjust to fundamental things.
And when you see this quarterback stand, on the DN, you know the paper, he's there and he's got this like whimsical look on his face, the head down, you know. And it's like, you know, I don't expect him to slash his wrist or anything. But like Tyrone said earlier, and there's a lot of times I don't agree with TJ because he's Carson Wentz's top cheerleader. But, you know, the man needs to take and like stiffen his back up, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on both counts, Jerome. And here's the thing, when you're telling me he's like I don't think Doug is that smart of a guy. Now, I know I'm making a harsh judgment, but let me make my point here. So, in other words, if you're like you prepare for something and you can't adjust on the fly, like he puts all his energy into coming up with a game plan and his plays that he thinks is going to work.
Yeah.
But if the game evolves in a different way,
which it does,
he can't bounce off of that.
No, he doesn't. His planning in the moment is really, you know, kind of bad. And it's the omission of this, you know, that needs to come.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody's got to be a mediator. Unfortunately, there's nobody that seems to want to take the reins. And please, not Antonio. No, no way, no how. Don't waste any time. And finally, baseball is your big thing, and I like it, and I wish that. I hope that third baseman continues hitting those line drives. But, man, having a Latin pitcher who's possibly an ace and not be here, that hurts me to my heart.
You're talking about Sanchez?
Dingo! I mean,
that's why I asked the question a little while ago. Now you know what you know. Would you reverse the trade? And you can't like factor in that you may lose him to free agency. Straight up, is it more important to have a potential ace that throws a hot potential number one? They don't grow on trees. Like Noel's not even that, right? And number one, flat out ace. Who's got that kind of stuff doesn't come along very often. So is that more important than having a catcher who may be the best in the league? That's just a simple, fundamental question.
I got you.
You know, it's like asking, is a quarterback more important than the rushing defensive end or a great cornerback?
Well, yeah, he is, but he plays every snap.
Yeah.
The pitcher's still only pitching every fifth day.
True.
So it's a.
But an ace is an ace is an ace.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of the ace.
Yeah, if he proves to be an ace.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen guys be great for a short period of time and end up not being ace.
Yeah, I get you. But when you look at the guy's stuff, you go, holy crap. You know, it's like they don't come along very often.
No, he's also a small guy. Who are you rooting for in since we're doing the hypothetical things in Heat Celtics, if you have to pick one?
Who am I rooting for?
Uh huh.
believe it or not, I'm rooting for the Heat.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Celtics.
All right.
People said I'm not allowed.
You're not. You hate Jimmy.
Yep.
Yeah, you hate Jimmy. I like Jimmy. So I'm rooting for the Heat. I don't like the Celtics a little bit.
I don't like the Celtics either.
They annoy me to the nth degree.
They annoy me as well.
The Heat don't. I look at the Heat as an underdog that plays ball, and they have some kind of special killer that overcomes their lack of talent. Yes. I like the fact they got two long-range shooters that can fire.
They do.
I like they got the heart ticker with Jimmy Butler. I like they got a selfless big man in Bam. I like a lot of things about that team.
Yeah, I don't like Tyler Hero. I don't like Robinson. I don't like Butler. See?
How do you not like Tyler Hero or Robinson? They just can fire. How do you not like guys that can fire?
I don't like these dudes. I think a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Smoke and mirrors? Yeah, they can fire.
No, the shooting's real.
Oh, well, that's what all I care about.
And here's my conundrum. The line is thin. Celtics only a point and a half favorite.
Tonight. I think the Heat could win the series.
Right. I like the way the Heat
plays. They're well coached. They play together as a team. They got components. They spread the floor. They got a killer who can transport the ball, which opens up space for those two dudes that can fire.
I can't stand Jimmy Butler. He's selling coffee. I hope that coffee goes out of business. I don't want him to. I can't live with myself.
What do you like about Jimmy Butler?
I think that Jimmy Butler is similar to Bono and Anne Hathaway. He insists upon himself too much. Jimmy's got to tell you how great Jimmy is every day. Jimmy's got to tell you how hard he's working. I can't.
If he delivers, it doesn't matter what he's saying. If he's delivering, he's delivering.
He's now. This is the first time he's passed the second round. I just can't with Jimmy. And for that reason.
I can.
And that reason alone.
I can. I'll take Jimmy any day of the week. 610-632-0977.
He's got some new moves.
Okay.
Check Jimmy out.
Can't stand it.
We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .975 The Fanatic.
Sometimes my cord gets caught under the chair wheel. That's what that was about.
Mine does it every day.
Yeah, it's too long. It needs to be bundled up a little bit so it doesn't reach the floor.
I know. I get like stuck.
Around the chair like this, and then the wheel catches the wire, and then you come back and you go.
Yeah, and then your head's kind of like stuck.
Exactly. All right, 610-622-0975 is how you climb into the show. This is Sal Pal Day. Sal Pal joins us at 5:15. Interesting, hear what Sal Pal will have to say about that game and about that quarterback and about that coaching effort. Let's go to KP in Northeast Philly. KP, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike, Tyrone, Natalie, how's everybody doing?
What's up, KP?
Hey, real quick, I just wanted to say that Tyrone, I didn't call in that day, but the shirt he wore a couple weeks ago, it said, nah, Rosa Parks. Thought that was a great shirt. So anyway.
He's going conventional today. What's he got, a yellow polo on today? Sorry.
Yeah, look at yellow polo. Look at Spitz. So I just wanted to say about the game Sunday. Obviously, you know, it was ridiculous and unacceptable the way that they played and gave up that lead. I put it more on the offense because every drive that the Redskins scored was like 45 yards or under or whatever.
Yep.
Now, I'm not worried. I think they're going to bounce back. Like Tyrone made a good point. Aaron Donald hasn't had success in the past against the Rams. Sometimes there's just teams out there like that. Like, you know, we can't beat Russell Wilson. So I think that they're going to bounce back. I'm not worried about it. I think, you know, we got a lot of talent on this team. I think it might take a little bit of time to click, as we've seen in the past that happens. I got a little bit of a hot take, if I can share that with you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I personally think that Jalen Reagor is going to wind up being a better draft pick than CeeDee Lamb. I know we can all hope for that. It might be a long shot, but I'm hoping on it.
Well, I'm sure you're hoping on it. I mean, CD looked like he was a pro in that game. You know, he moved very well on the field. What do you have, 5 catches?
A lot of people have more slumps, though. You know, they turn out to be good the rookie year, and then they get film on them, and they, you know, never play good again. So, we'll see.
Okay. All right. Yeah, who knows how it's going to be? He might be a burner, big play guy in this league, Rager. CeeDee Lamb, I think, is a more polished player.
He is right now. I do like Rager. It seems like his makeup is tough. The shoulder, he manages to get back and plays week one. And then after the game, he owned his stuff. Like, he missed blocks and stuff like that today, apparently, in the media availability. He owned the quarterback's taking heat for overthrow. He's talking about his route.
Yeah.
So I feel like I like his makeup. So, and I didn't know anything about his makeup.
Can we clear? Because I don't want to get to an Iguodala type of situation. Because I thought that, like, when we called him Rager, it was actually Rieger. Then wasn't it Monty Rieger who played here, his father? So is it Rager or Rieger?
It's Rager.
It's Rager?
Yes, because I was saying Rieger, and then, because I thought it was Rieger, and then Booney actually was like, not to nitpick,
it's
but
Rager.
It's Rager.
Really?
Yeah, so I thought I was just Philadelphia again. I
on draft day, he was Rager.
Rager.
But then I thought he changed to Rieger.
I thought it was Rieger too, but Booney said something to me on Monday. He said, just before anybody else points it out.
Okay, I got to get to the YouTube pronunciation guide.
That one is weird. I went to that and it was
what it said.
Rieger.
It said Rieger.
It says Rieger.
But if you go to what the commissioner says, and I think the
pronunciation. Well, he doesn't know his ass from a hole in the ground. So no,
I think he gets a pronunciation key.
Yeah, oh, he does. I wouldn't trust him even with a pronunciation key. I have no idea what he's in.
Well, you know
that lame brain's doing.
I think that guy's a fraud. Making all that money. He should be giving back half that money.
It wouldn't shock me. He had it wrong all along. So
that's good.
I'm intrigued to see what it says, because I was saying Rieger. I thought I was just butchering it with my Philadelphia accent.
Yeah, we'll just keep checking on it. It sounds like an Iguodala situation. I think it was Monty Rieger when he played with the Eagles. That's his father. So
then by default, he would father's be Rieger,
the kid would be Rieger. We'll check on it. So Hembo's the greatest, man, because you have Hembo on. You know Hembo's stats, right? He lays stats on me when he doesn't even have to. Like, he'll send me a text. So last night I get this text. The Eagles' average distance on third down in that game Sunday against Washington. Average distance to go on third down. Now, mind you, if it's a small number, that means your offense is churning out yards on the first guy. It makes it easier to convert, right? Their average distance on third down Sunday was 10.6 yards. Not even less than 10. More than 10. 10.6. That's mind-boggling. That's the longest conversion distance of any team in week one and the longest in the game under Doug Peterson.
That explains a lot. It helps explain something with the quarterback. It explains something with the offensive line. Doesn't really explain the coach, but it does explain the offensive line a little bit more and the quarterback a little bit more. It's harder for everybody on third and long. It just is.
I can't even believe that.
Like, you're asking offensive line to now block for a makeshift offensive line to block for an average of third and 10.6. And the quarterback now has to make plays against a good pass rush against a third and a 10-point. That's
stunning stat. It really is. All right, let's go to Zach in Boyertown. What's up, Zach?
What's up, Mike?
How you doing, buddy?
It's got to be the coach and the quarterback. I mean, there's nobody else you can pin this on. You look at Doug Peterson. I don't understand how much longer I got to deal with this. I get he won a Super Bowl, but that only carries you for so far. The man doesn't make adjustments. I really don't think he can even evaluate talent, because J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has no business being on an NFL roster. The two offensive linemen he started, I don't understand how you look at everybody on the team and go, yeah, these guys will get it done for me. And then when it comes to the running game, I'm blown away even more. You run the ball one time, then pass 15 times, and then run the ball one more, and then you don't give the running backs, even though it's Corey Clement and Boston Scott, and they're not all-stars, but you don't give them a chance to get going. I mean, like, you get one carry, and then you wait another half an hour before you see your next carry.
I just don't understand what he's doing. It's the same thing every year. We have these same discussions every year, and I'm quite frankly, I'm sick of it.
I hear you. There's so many weird judgments that are made. Like, okay, we don't see the judgment that they make to put the right tackle and the right guard there. Okay, so you got to trust them. All right, but the running back situation, it's clear that Boston Scott's an okay player, but you're leaving yourself short to go into a season with just him and Clement, who's kind of done without Sanders. So if that's a possibility, and it certainly was, I mean, they knew about Sanders' injury. They knew most likely he wasn't going to be able to play. How do you not back yourself up and fortify that position? There's just too many fundamental non-thinking decisions that they made.
But that's where I get back to. I don't think they can't evaluate talent. Because they look at what they have and think, oh, this is good enough to win.
Well, I think they evaluated Boston Scott. They obviously didn't give him the ball, so they had evaluated him that he wasn't good enough to carry the football. So my point is, why didn't you fortify it? Like, why don't you make somebody else active? You got two guys in the practice squad. Make them active. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. All right, my man. I was waiting for him to say something. But.
Yes, Holyfield probably, yeah, because he knows the offense better, should have been activated because he knows the offense a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he's a star, but if somebody went down and Scott went down, you'd have a back that actually knew. Although, because your fourth back, I didn't think he was going to be activated, but they had to activate him. He doesn't know the offense at all. He's been here a week. You had to have Holyfield dressed and ready to play just in case. You had to.
I'm looking at the drafting part of this because we've overlooked this part of it. They have Howie Roseman. It is right that we talk about it because they haven't fortified much. And if you go back to 2017, we underplayed that 2017 draft and all the guys they released. They released Jones. They released Rasul Douglas. They carried Mac Hollins for a long time. Pumphrey was a ghost. Yep. Shell Gibson. They got Nathan Gary and Derek Barnett who can't get on the field. In 2017.
It's a bad draft.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, we'll look at the other ones. We'll take a break now. We'll roll to
the Chiefs have drafted. Yeah. The Super Bowl champs. They draft really well.
All right. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour is wide open. Sal Powell joins us at 5:15. Your phone calls. Looking forward to it. It's Tuesday. Let me know how you feel right now. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.